I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but when you have 2 weeks to dissect an impending football game and to talk about the Super Bowl, the narratives start to fly. And based on the 49ers, I should underline this, dominating victories over Minnesota and Green Bay in the playoffs, because they ran the football down those two teams' throats, everybody has decided that Jimmy G sucks, when really nothing could be further from the truth. I will grant you this. He is the second best of the two starting quarterbacks that will play in the Super Bowl, but he far from stinks.
I think you're correct, and you should feel good about that. And this happens in Super Bowls, it happens in big matchups, it happens all the time. Jeff Hostetler was clearly the second best against the Buffalo Bills. His team won the game. Bob Greasy threw the football 7 times in a Super Bowl against Washington, and they won 14-7. And frankly, it wasn't that close. They dominated the entire game in a fluke play with a blocked field goal and Gary Premium and the whole deal, and Washington scored. Terry Bradshaw was talking to Jimmy G last week and said, Jimmy, I was 8 of 11 in a Super Bowl, but they won. Bottom line is to get the ring, and I know people bring up the Saints game. Jimmy threw it there. He made big plays down the stretch against the Rams, throwing the football. I'm not worried about him throwing it. That's what he does. That's what quarterbacks do. But if they can run it 40-plus times again and win the game, then Kyle Shanahan, the head coach and play caller on offense, will do exactly that. And everyone will walk away grinning. And I just don't understand the narrative that he can't throw the ball. That's why they're running it. They're running it because the other teams just can't stop them.
And it seems as though if we take out the bias towards Pat Mahomes in terms of his superiority, that when you're considering this as a team game, if you look at just the bare bones of it, that, hey, we can win multiple ways. What a great thing for us to be able to do. And it's like everyone's just negating that, like, oh, you only ran the ball and won. And it's like, listen, sometimes the way people talk about the Patriots and their last couple Super Bowls, it was like, yeah, they had a running back who was recycled, did the damn thing in the biggest games, and they were able to be successful. But now all of a sudden a running game is a detriment to your chances to win?
Yeah, that's a great point. And the running game in any Super Bowl, any playoffs, just about any team that we've seen win the biggest games is always a factor.
Yeah.
You know, whether the running backs are recycled or whether they're first round picks and they've been with you all the time, it doesn't really matter. And Kansas City runs the football, too. People will look at it and go, well, it's Patrick Mahomes, and that's true. When it's time to ring the bell, the biggest plays, remember, Mahomes is going to run it. But the Chiefs' running game is Damian Williams. The Chiefs' running game is Mecole Hardman. It's Tyreek Hill. It's Jason Kelce on shovel passes, right? It's Sammy Watkins, because they get those guys involved. And, oh, yeah, it's Patrick Mahomes, who I believe led them in rushing the last two games. So that's how people are going to fashion it. It's still going to be a factor. But, yeah, I go back to the 49ers and Jimmy can't play and Jimmy can't do this and all that. And I just, like, people are just lazy. I'm sorry. And I would sit there and tell them to their face. People that I respect, if they would put that, if they're printing that, if they're spewing that, that Jimmy can't throw, that's why the 49ers aren't doing it. No, that's just nuts. They're just doing it because Kyle Shanahan doesn't have an ego as a play caller. And they're beating people up front, and they're running the heck out of the football.
We're going to get a list of authors and writers who have called him, say he can't pass the ball, say that the 49ers aren't going to win because Jimmy can't pass the ball. And we'll just get you all their emails. You could just send a mass email, maybe a BCC, just subject lazy. We'll make it super easy for you.
Fine with me. It just makes no sense at all. I mean, it's one thing to say, you guys know, it's really one thing to say, well, I don't think that he can beat them throwing the ball. That's fine. That's an opinion. But saying they're not throwing it because he can't do it, that just makes no sense. If anyone followed their season, followed this young man's career, I'm not sitting here saying that he's better than Patrick Mahomes. I think that you guys made the point very well. He is the second of the two starting quarterbacks if you're going to pick him. And by far, no one's going to pick Jimmy G over Patrick Mahomes that's really in their right mind. That doesn't mean he and his team aren't going to win a Super Bowl or can't win a Super Bowl. It's been done many, many times in the Super Bowl with the second quarterback and his team walks away with the win.
Charles Davis is our guest from the NFL on Fox. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
So Jimmy G is going to be calling, apparently, Tom Brady for advice on how to beat the Chiefs, and Nick Bosa is going to be calling his brother, Joey, on how to beat Mahomes. So he gets to play him. He's played him, what, three times in the last couple of years in the same division. What is he possibly going to tell his brother on how to beat Mahomes?
I don't know that he's going to be able to tell him anything that's a secret that no one else in the league knows. He's going to give him his advice on how he pass rushes him. And frankly, I think that if the real conversation isn't so much Mahomes, it's the offensive tackles. What is Mitchell Schwartz like as the right tackle? What is Eric Fisher like as the left tackle? Because Nick Bosa lines up on both sides. That's what he's going to really get from Joey, much more than how do I get to Mahomes. Look, beating the offensive tackles is the key to everything. Then you draw a beat on Patrick Mahomes, and he knows from watching tape and everything else, you got to be careful about how he exits the pocket. But the bottom line is to get there first. He's going to want a full scouting report on the offensive tackles of the Chiefs first and foremost.
Charles Davis is our guest from the NFL on Fox. Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I've asked this question of some of our guests over the course of the week, Charles. I'd like your opinion. Andy Reid, does he need to win a Super Bowl to be a Hall of Famer?
I don't think he does, because he got there for a second time with a second team. Would it cement everything right then and there if he does win it? Yes. Will we all feel better that old Andy won his Super Bowl? Yes. But I think getting there with a second team wins the whole thing. I mean, there's Andy Reid for all these years. Great record. Got to one Super Bowl. But you remember with the Eagles, I think he got to the conference championship game five times and didn't get, you know, only get to the Super Bowl once.
And four straight
and they
years.
In New England. Yeah. You know, so that, and then the narrative of Andy's not great with clock management. You know, Andy's playoff record isn't the greatest in the world, but now he's back with Kansas City. Almost got there last year after getting down big to New England, but also breaks the record of two different teams, multiple conference championship games at home, not getting there. That went away with this win. So I think that he's in now, truthfully. I really do. But, you know, look, Bud Grant lost, what, four Super Bowls? You know, or whatever it was with the Vikings, he's in. Marv Levy, he lost all those Super Bowls with Buffalo, he's in. I think the excellence overall will carry the day, but the biggest deal to me was a second Super Bowl, two different franchises. Yeah, if he wins it, then we're done with the debate, but I think he's in. I think he's in by getting in the second time regardless.
Charles, a lot of people are expecting this Super Bowl to be a shootout in terms of the score. Really high scoring, back and forth. That's what I kind of hope for. Those are the most fun games. Is there a Super Bowl that sticks out in your mind that was your favorite one to either cover or just watch just because of the intrigue or the game script and the way things played out?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've been lucky enough that I do the international broadcast for NFL Films. I think this could be my seventh one coming up or somewhere in that neighborhood. So I was lucky enough to do the New England-Seattle game with the interception at the goal line and Marshawn Lynch didn't get the football.
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky enough to do the Philadelphia-New England one where we had so much intrigue. Down the stretch, was Corey Clement's touchdown a touchdown with all the new rules we have now? Was Zach Ertz a touchdown a touchdown? How about the play that Brandon Graham made to knock the ball out of Tom Brady's hands? Tom Brady throws for over 500 yards. I was fortunate enough to do 28-3. Atlanta up on New England.
Oh, my goodness.
And New England comes back and wins in overtime.
Yeah.
So I've been fortunate that I've been able to do those games and not just watch them. But, you know, as a kid, you know, being able to watch the Super Bowl, I went through that time frame where I'm 55. So anyone who can hear our voices that's in my vintage can remember when the Super Bowl was a dud. You know, it felt like every year we'd have all this intrigue and we get there and the Super Bowl was just awful. That Colts, the Colts Cowboys one, the Jim O'Brien kicked the field goal. That was like the only excitement of the entire day, if I remember correctly. The MVP of the game was on the losing team from Dallas. It was a linebacker, Chuck Alley, I believe.
That's a stretch.
So you don't, right? And so that was just a bad game. But we've had a number of those. I mean, I remember the Vikings in Miami, where Miami just mashed them. I think the final score was 16-6. It could not have been more boring. But those games I'm talking about, plus a number of others in recent years, the Super Bowl's lived up to the hype, and I'm expecting this one to be exactly that.
There was also that run forever, Charles. I remember as a teenager where the NFC won how many – I'd have to look this up, but it was like 10 or 12 or something in a row. Like it was just – whether it was the Niners or the Cowboys or the Packers, there was just a run of NFC dominance there. Through my teenage years that I remember really well, with Charles Davis of the NFL on Fox. So Eli Manning is going to formally announce his retirement today. And, I mean, it's just so funny. Like, Eli's kind of a low-key guy. Strikes me the Peyton and Eli, the Manning brothers, have pretty good senses of humor. We know that Peyton's done a ton of commercials. He's done some Saturday Night Live. Eli's sort of humorous in an unassuming way, and yet there is all this controversy around whether he is a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Where do you come down on that? I say yes, because as much as anything else, he was a big moments guy. Two Super Bowls, both against the Patriots, including the one against the undefeated, or to that point, undefeated Patriots team.
Yeah, he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. I don't have any. There's no question in my mind that it's going to happen. And the debate that swirls around this type of thing is tells us about where we are right now. I mean, that's just kind of how it is with all the news cycles and all this, and it's the instant stuff. And in most cases, when I was growing up, we would anoint someone an instant Hall of Famer that absolute without question, but if they weren't, we didn't have this much debate about it. It was kind of like, let them have their moment. Now we don't worry about that. He will get in, and I think your point is well taken. The big moments will carry the day. Not only is it two Super Bowl titles, it's two MVPs in the Super Bowl. It's the big throws. It wasn't just getting out of the pocket and hitting David Tyree. It was hitting Mario Manningham down the sideline. It was hitting Plaxico Burress for the game-winning touchdown. It was going to Green Bay in absolutely brutal conditions and winning against a heavily favored Packers team in the playoffs. It was going to Dallas and winning on the road in the playoffs. It's those types of things that when you put it all together, the critics will say, well, he was 117-117 as a starter. Yep, knew that was going to come up. But when you put it all together, you're going to see those big moments. You're going to remember those, and he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. And I have no argument against that at all. I'm a big moments kind of guy myself, and I know people are going to make all their cases, but just trust me on this one. At some point, we're going to be seeing Eli Manning putting on a gold jacket.
I was going to say, imagine Eli Manning is like, you guys think Peyton's funnier? I'm going to call this press conference. The news is leaked that I'm retiring, but I'm announcing my new team. Gotcha.
Getting ahead of Brady on that one.
look, out of that family, and I'm fortunate enough, I know them fairly well, and this is just, again, one person's opinion. Peyton obviously is the master of this stuff, master of the pitch man, you know, master of the funny lines, master of all those things. Cooper, the oldest, who didn't get to play because he had a neck injury and had to give up football while at Ole Miss, he's the one in the family. So, you know, I know Fox has hired him. He does the Cooper Manning Hour minus 58 minutes. You know, that sort of a deal. When everything revolves at that house, whenever the hijinks are happening and all, Cooper is the one. And I'm just telling you, Eli is funny as well. I don't know if you remember that commercial he did with Odell Beckham.
Yeah, Dirty Dancing. And,
you know, Dirty Dancing, he's picking him up in the air. So it's not like he can't be funny. And the three of them together, don't leave your cell phone around, because when you come back to it next time, you're trying to unlock it in Japanese, and that's just not going to work for most people. So that's just how this whole family rolls. and that's who they are. And the best part is Eli is low key and unassuming. He actually wanted what he wanted was a low key press conference. And he told his dad that, and his father said, "Are you nuts? That's not going to happen." So congratulations for wanting it. And he just laughed and said, "Yeah, I'll see you at the press conference. You let me know how low-key it turns out to be." Because it's impossible to be low-key. It's New York. It's a Manning retiring. And a lot of people really like Eli. Just wait and see who's going to be at this press conference wanting to honor Eli Manning. I mean, I know his college coach is going to be there among many, many others. So Eli Manning carries a lot of sway. And he deserves it by how he's carried himself.
Yeah, you figure like Tom Coughlin would be in the building, and I'm sure a lot of ex-teammates.
No question.
Just while we have you here, Charles, because you mentioned Cooper Manning, the story has always been that had he not suffered that neck injury in college, he may actually have been the best NFL quarterback of the three. Do they talk about that, knowing them, you know them a little more personally? Is that sort of agreed upon, or it's one of those debate topics that we'll just never know?
Well, not a ton of conversation. See, Cooper was a wide receiver. Okay,
oh,
and Peyton was his, yeah, Cooper was a wide receiver.
Okay, so they
and
said,
Peyton
but
was his quarter, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he's the best athlete.
I see.
That you have it right. Best is correct. He's the best athlete out of the three boys. And I will tell you, in my opinion, having seen the tape on Cooper, having watched obviously Peyton and Eli all these years, it's not even close. Cooper would have run rings around those guys. If you look at the best athletes in that family, Archie by far was the best athlete. Cooper was second best, and I always tease them that the athletic ability kept declining in descending order, that it went from Archie to Cooper to Peyton to Eli.
Well, you know how that goes with genetics.
Overall, yeah, and overall athletic ability. But when you're playing quarterback, you don't have to be the same athlete that you'd have to be at wide receiver. And that's what Cooper was. And he was the best athlete out of the three boys. But because of the neck injury, had to retire and give up football. Why is it Ole Miss? Denver even got to play, I believe, in an actual game. So that was the sad part for him. But by the way, Cooper is having his revenge because he has a son who was a freshman last year in the varsity football team at their old high school who was already breaking Peyton and Eli's records. No joke. I've seen the tape. I get the reports each and every week. This kid has blown away people already. He's a true freshman. And his name is Arch Manning, named after the old man. And so Cooper's going to get his revenge by creating his own quarterback to chase down his two uncles.
Okay, so if he's 14-ish, 15-ish, then we're looking 2026, 2027. Well, we'll hear about him in college before we worry about the NFL draft.
Yeah, hear about him in college and see if he comes out a year early or not and all that other stuff. But just look out already. I will guarantee he's already got college offers sitting in his pocket. There's no doubt in my mind everybody's going to try and get in early. But I have seen him live throwing the football. I've seen him on tape throwing the football for a freshman. If his name wasn't Manning, you would absolutely go gaga over him. Because his name's Manning, many people are going to want to be skeptical. There's no reason for skepticism. The young man can play.
Man, some families have all the luck. That's such crap. Spread around the athleticism, Mannings.
Well, my favorite tweet of this week, I think, was from Trey Wingo, who said, "Look, congratulations to Eli. But real congratulations to Archie and Olivia Manning, who are the greatest parents ever, because career earnings," and they put up the career earnings of Peyton and Eli.
Yeah,
and then he said, now that's good parenting. Mm-hmm. I mean, their career earnings are like off the charts. He's like, "Now that's good parenting." I thought that was a great tweet.